right. So if you have your paper, adjust here. If you have a Bible, you can find Psalm 119. But if you don't want to use your Bible, you can just use the paper. What we're doing tonight is we're picking up in the middle of a study, which we began in the springtime before we took our summer break. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm. It's the longest chapter of the Bible. And what it is an ode to the Word of God itself. Okay, the Psalm 119 is a tribute to Scripture itself. And if you've ever read through it, you'll see that it's an extended meditation on the benefits and the greatness and the sweetness of the Bible itself. Now, it's true that, of course, a lot of the Bible was written after this psalm was written, but that doesn't make any difference. It still applies to the whole canon because everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God is good, yes? Not only the things that this psalmist would have had and known as Scripture, but all Scripture is, the Bible tells us, breathed out by God, and it's profitable for us. It's beneficial for us. It's advantageous for the man of God to correct him and rebuke him and teach him and train him and equip him for everything good. Okay, and the Bible says man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That being so, we as God's children, those of you who belong to God, you ought to be strongly encouraging each other and encouraging yourself to be diligent to study the Word of God. And it's my submission to you that many Christians have very slack habits when it comes to reading the Bible. Now, of course, out in the world, and we would expect this, but out in the world, biblical literacy is now at an all-time low, probably the worst it's been since the invention of the printing press. But even in the church, there is a sore lack of familiarity with the doctrines, the histories, the characters of the Bible, and the promises of God regarding the things that are to come. We have to admit to being a microwave generation. You get what I mean? We're an instant gratification generation. We want results now, and we tend to get our theology in microwave form too, in instant gratification form. And what I mean by that is we'd much rather get a little thin bestseller from the Bible bookstore that's everything you ever wanted to know, or to get a canned sermon from the TV preachers instead of ourselves making the effort to read and to study and explore and learn and inquire into the Word of God and meditate on the things of it. Okay, it requires some work on our part. It's as true today as it was back when Jesus said it to the Pharisees. Why do you err? Okay, why do you get off course? You err because you don't know the Scriptures or the power of God. That's what he said to the Pharisees. You err because you don't know the Scriptures or the power of God. So that brings us to our psalm. This psalm is the brainchild of a man who has spent hours upon hours and probably years upon years in close fellowship with God Almighty through his written word. And Christians, the more time you spend with God's word, the more you will love both it and him whose spirit is its author and whose son is revealed in its pages. Okay, that's what Jesus said. This is eternal life, that they may know you, that they may know you, the true and living God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. How do you get to know a person? By communication. Okay, by communication with that person. Prayer is how we communicate with God. And the Scriptures are how God communicates with us. Okay, that is how we get to know him. Tonight I would like to, if you'll take your paper, I'd like to look at three segments of this psalm. In case you don't know, if you're not familiar with the psalm, Psalm 119 is divided up into 22 8-verse segments. And each one is denoted by a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And in the springtime, as I said, we already covered the first six sections of the psalm. So we're going to start with the seventh one tonight. And if you are at all interested in catching up, I can certainly give you the recordings from the springtime. And you just come see me about that. I want to take these three segments, starting with verse 49, and use them to highlight for you tonight what are the benefits, what are some of the benefits of making it your own personal practice to read and to explore and to store up, to lay up in your mind and in your hearts the content of God's precious revelation to us, the human race, and particularly to those of us who are his children by faith in Jesus Christ. Why should you make this book a priority in your life? Why choose this to spend a couple hours with over, say, spending 2 hours staring at an electronic box full of actors, full of make-believe people, or a couple of hours of teams of spoiled millionaires throwing a ball to each other? Okay, why? Why would we do this? What do you stand to gain spending your time reading the communication of God and putting into practice what you find there? Okay, so turn your attention to the scripture and the first section. You see it starts with the Hebrew letter Zion. This stanza tells us that one thing that you stand to gain is hope and comfort for your soul, which you must admit you are in sore need of in a miserable and rebellious world. So let's read this stanza. And keep in mind, this entire psalm is a prayer. Okay, you see that the author is speaking to God. So verse 49 says, "Remember your word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope." My hope. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. But your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts." Okay, now who among us does not get weary and heavily burdened by the cares of life? Who here does not have a plate full of problems and challenges and weaknesses and worries? Okay, there is some person who oppresses you or ridicules you or takes from you. Okay, who of us has not been confronted by the fear of death or the fear of some serious illness or the fear of pain? Okay, there's no one. Because the scripture says, man is born to trouble, as surely as sparks fly upward. Okay, so I need, and you need, a refreshing. We need a hope and comfort. We need strength and courage and reassurance. What is the remedy for this? Where can you go? Okay, we're told to go to the written word of God. You see that in verse 50, he says, "Your word has given me life." Your word has given me life. And 54 says, "Your statutes have been my songs." What's he talking about? He's talking about the promises of God. The promises of God. Now, our Lord is a promise-making God, and his word cannot fail to come to pass. And he's given us very many great and precious promises. And he won't forget what those promises are. Notice in this stanza that the word "remember" appears three times, in verse 49, verse 52, and 55. Okay, in Hebrew, the word "remember" starts with Z. Okay, and we're in the Z section, you see, and so every line starts with Z. The name Zechariah, for example, the prophet Zechariah, his name means "the Lord remembers." Lord remembers. Which is a fantastic name for who that man is. He's a prophet of the restoration. After the exile to Babylon, okay, the people are back in the promised land. Even though they have suffered God's punishment, they've suffered chastening at the hands of the Babylonians, they've suffered affliction and destruction, God did not forget his promise to his people, his covenant, even though the scripture says he won't leave the guilty unpunished, which they were and which he did. However, that did not destroy his covenant. He remembers his promises to his people, and he still remembers them. And the psalmist prays, remember your word to me. Okay, remember your word to your servant. I am weak. I am afflicted. I am sorrowful. I'm surrounded by bad people and by scoffers and troubles. There's always reason for you to put your hope in the promises of God, no matter what befalls you. Okay, he says, this is my comfort in my affliction. You all have your afflictions, and if you're sailing pretty today, well, you will have some afflictions sooner or later. Okay, you have to be able to prepare yourself to face them, or you need some resources right now to be able to face what you're going through right now. So he says in 52, I remembered your judgments of old, and I've comforted myself. In 55, he says, I remember your name in the night, and I keep your law. The Bible is valuable to you and to me because by reading it, by learning it, and I mean by learning it, not by browsing it, by learning it, I remember the Lord's mighty acts from the past. I know that this God that I serve, he's the God who called the world into being. That's a mighty act. He's the God of the flood. He's the God of the redemption from Egypt and the crossing of the Red Sea. He's the God of the conquest and of good King David and the promised land. He's the God of the captivity. He's the God of the return from captivity. He's the God of the manger in Bethlehem. And he's the God of the cross. And he's the God of the amazing fact of the empty tomb. Okay? Remember Jesus said, touch me and see. It's me. It's I myself. Okay? That God, that Lord that I serve, has done those things. And it is marvelous in our sight. Okay? I remember your mighty deeds of old. How do I remember them? Because I learned my Bible. Okay? That's what you should do too. In the New Testament, you have the Apostle Paul writing out of his own affliction, his heavy affliction. He says this, we are struck down. We are hard-pressed on every side. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. But we're not crushed. Okay, we're not in despair. We're not forsaken. We're not destroyed. We don't lose heart. Why not? Okay, even though we're outwardly being worn down, how is it that we're inwardly being renewed day by day? How does it happen? It happens because we know that God's promises are yea and amen. He remembers his promises. He's able to perform that which he's promised. He will remember his word to his servant, as it says in 49. Okay? Here it says, in the house of my pilgrimage, it's 54, your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I'm away from my homeland, but I still take courage. Where do you find the fortitude for, you know, how do you find the strength to take your head off the pillow every morning? How do you think Paul did it? How can he bear to face another day of the difficulties of life? Because we have the promises of God that are delivered to us in the scriptures. According to his promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness will dwell. Where do you find out about that? Not in the newspaper. Not on the electronic box, right? You find it in Isaiah. You find it in Ezekiel. You find it in the Psalms. You find it in the Gospels. I remembered your judgments of old and have taken comfort. Okay, have comforted myself. Beloved, we have these things to look forward to, Peter says. Beloved, you know this beforehand. You know it's going to come to pass. How do you know? Because you have these pages. So be diligent to be found by him in peace, and don't be led away into the errors of the wicked. Why do they err? Because they don't know the scriptures or the power of God. Understand? By knowing your Bible, you will remain steadfast. Okay? That's why you yourself have to be a student of God's word, because you need a song in the night. All right, next stanza, the one called Heth. What else do you stand to gain from becoming a student of the Word of God? You stand to gain fellowship with God and man. You stand to gain fellowship with God and man. You gain friendship with God, communion with God, and with his people. Let's read that one, starting in 57. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said, you hear him make a commitment, I have said I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. And I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Okay, isn't that beautiful? You are my portion. You are what I... In another place, another psalmist says, whom have I in heaven but you? The earth has no one that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. He's my portion forever. Okay, now, Christians, brothers and sisters and friends, we want the favor of the Lord, don't we? We don't want God to be our enemy. We want him on our side. So how does a man or a woman or a child find out how to obtain favor from the Lord? Okay, how can we please him and gain his friendship and gain his favor? By searching his word for instruction and wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 8, wisdom speaks. And wisdom says, whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates and waiting at my doorpost. Okay, so that chapter tells us we ought to be going to the Word of God daily to seek instruction from him and place ourselves like pupils at the teacher's feet. Okay, remember what a disciple is? I've said it before. What's a disciple? A disciple is a learner. Okay, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, I tell you, you have to get to school and open your textbook. Okay, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates. If you're not a disciple of Jesus, then simply hear his call. Hear him ringing the school bell for you. Okay, there's empty seats in his classroom. Come and make yourself his student. God himself will become your delight. He will become your portion. You will be called his friend, the friend of God. How does that happen? By what it says in 59 and 60, if you turn your eyes to that. 59 and 60, I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Now we have a word for that. It's repentance. It's repentance. You turn away from sin and turn to the Lord. You get your feet off of this path and you get them onto his path. Okay? I made haste. I started right away. Okay? When I saw your commandments, I made haste. Why? Because I found out that the world is under condemnation. Okay, the scripture tells me that the world is under the power of the evil one, and that includes me. For sure it does. Okay, I spent my own days in pleasure and sin and looking out for number one, and I didn't know anything about what it was like to have the Lord for my portion. Okay, I was just trying to suck out the marrow of life. Okay, I trying to get all the happiness I can out of things and money and status and food and lust and sin, okay? All that time I was blind. All that time I was dead to God. I was separated from God, and I was bound for condemnation, the fire of hell. Okay? And the scripture says, a good man obtains the Lord's favor. A good man. But a man who makes wicked plans, he will condemn. He will condemn. I don't want to be condemned, okay? I want the favor of the Lord. So when that hits me, I confessed my sin to the Lord. Okay, 59 says, I thought about my ways, and I made haste. You better believe I made haste. When I realized the door was open, I turned my feet to your testimonies. I didn't delay. I got with the program. I want to walk with God. The scripture tells me that two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. I want God for my friend. I want his fellowship, so I need to study his word. because only in this book is the will of God revealed and explained. Okay, now what do most people make haste to do? They make haste to turn on the TV. Okay, I made haste to turn on Netflix or on CSI or some other thing. And what does get delayed? I'll tell you what gets delayed. Prayer time gets delayed. Bible time gets delayed. Christian fellowship gets delayed. Okay, time with God gets delayed. You are my portion. You are my strength and my song. I will rise at midnight to give you thanks. All right, that's wonderful. Don't delay to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Plus, you can see in 63, I'm a companion of all who fear you and those who keep your precepts. They call it the communion of saints. Okay, it's the family of believers. Here they are. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, right? I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If you haven't been born again, why should you not be born again right here tonight, right here in this yard? Consider your ways. Look, instant family. It's instant companionship with countless fellow travelers on their way to the city of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. Therefore, repent and believe the good news. God will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. His word says so. We have it there in 58. Be merciful to me according to your word, according to your promise. Okay, 64 says, the earth is full of his mercy. Don't you want to be his friend? Okay, we are saved by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Finally, thirdly, for tonight, let's read the third stanza there. Something else you gain from the word of God is perspective. Perspective on suffering, perspective on happiness also. Only the student of the scriptures can put all of the ups and the downs of this life in proper perspective. Okay, the most terrible pains and the most exciting pleasures. Let's see that in 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Okay, do you hear the testimony? Whatever has befallen me, you've dealt well with me. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Hear that, everybody? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Okay, it was good for me to be afflicted. Those are powerful words, words that only a child of God can utter with sincerity. Okay, through the word of God, we learn about the sovereign power and the goodness of God to superintend even the most evil of circumstances for the good of his beloved ones. You remember Joseph from the book of Genesis. Brothers, you sold me into slavery. Okay, you intended it for evil. But the Lord meant it for good to preserve many people alive as it is this day. Well, let me ask you this. I wonder if Joseph was thinking that when he was in prison. Okay, do you think Joseph was thinking that when he was in shackles, slung over the back of a camel on his way to Egypt? Okay, this is all for good. No, it was only in hindsight, once it all worked out. It was only after everything worked out, the Lord meant this for good. Okay, but you see, Joseph didn't have a Bible. He didn't have Romans 8:28. Okay, Joseph didn't have thousands of years of the history of God's people to read and find out examples of how God was in charge the whole time and how he makes everything all work out. He had to gain his perspective the hard way. You don't have to learn the hard way. Okay, the scripture says the things that were written of old were written for our learning. They are there for you as a resource. They're there for your learning so that through the scriptures we might have hope. We know, or at least ought to know, from lots of examples that God brings good out of bad. Okay, in the word of God, I gain perspective. I learn God's not trying to get me. He's trying to polish me. Verse 68, a key verse. It's a key verse for the entire psalm. It's a key verse for your life. You are good, and you do good. Okay? I've discovered, the psalmist says, that this is one of those non-negotiables of the universe. Okay? You can't shift this one. It's just an immovable fact that God is good, and I can trust him. Okay, but people who are not well exercised in the scriptures tend to look at the difficulties that befall them in life, and they wonder, how did this all get out of control? Why is this happening to me? And they respond in various negative ways. They panic, they fall into depression, they lash out at people, they run and hide, they get bitter, they withdraw from people, okay, they bewail their misfortune, they're overcome somehow or other. But those of us who are well exercised in the scriptures, we can say with boldness, it is well with my soul. Okay, when sorrows like sea billows roll, thou hast taught me, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well. It was good for me to be afflicted, because before I was afflicted, I was going astray. Now I keep your word, and the Lord is my helper. I have nothing to fear. Verse 69, 70, I can even accept the fact that I have enemies, proud enemies, enemies whose hearts, really a nice vivid image, isn't it? Enemies whose hearts are thick and fat, okay? They're unfeeling, merciless. So it's a great adjective, isn't it? Greasy hearts, okay? Inhuman, ruthless people who are against me. Okay, even that fact I can accept, because having troubles, I've learned, always drives me closer to you. Okay, it just shows all the more clearly to me to have this experience, to see the difference between the fruit of an ungodly life and a godly one. Okay, plus when I ask those difficult questions, those, why is this happening to me kind of questions, and I get some answers, I get to know you better. And that's eternal life, knowing you, the only true God, and your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent, it is well with my soul. Okay, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now, okay, so if tonight you cannot say, it is well with my soul, have you considered perhaps that it's because you're astray? Isn't your misery due to the fact that you have wandered off? Do you not err because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God? Take heed to the word of God. Put your trust in him. Call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give you peace. Okay, friends, what a precious gift your Bible is. If you have a Bible and you're not using it, you are only hurting yourself. It is more precious than a heap of money. Understand? In it we have God's promises. We have his assurances. We have visions of his glory. We have his power for us who believe. We have his instructions for a peaceful, joyful life in the midst of lots of difficulties. We learn good judgment. We learn to order our steps aright. We learn holiness. We learn purity. We learn love. And we gain stability and confidence. Through it all, you can say, the Lord has been good to me. He keeps me singing. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Abba Father, for your great word, your wonderful, flawless word to us. It gives us hope. It gives us direction. It reveals you and your wonderful Son. We pray for one another tonight, Lord God, that you would strengthen us. Pray that you would bless our fellowship. We thank you for food to eat and for those who provide it, Lord. Thank you for friends and brothers and sisters around us to share the evening with. We bless your name, King of Heaven. We magnify you, Lord Jesus. We love you and thank you for coming into the world to save us. And we pray that you would come quickly. But in the meantime, Lord, give us strength through your word. and seal to our hearts the things that we've heard tonight. Give us a determination to go and learn the things that you have taught us through your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.